What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you have patients that owe you money? Well, let me help you with something. People that owe you money don't like you. And when they owe you money, it's a symptom of a bigger problem. Today on the podcast, I have an amazing coach. Her name is Robin Tyson, and she walks us through a plan, a four-step solution to the overdue account. It is awesome. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam. I get to have the coolest job in the world where I interview amazing experts, amazing coaches to talk about some of the problems that you might have as a dental practice to provide some great solutions so you can create a better practice and a better life. We're going to do exactly that today with an amazing coach. Her name is Robin Tyson. Robin, thanks for being back. I always appreciate you.
Oh, it's always so fun to be here. Looking forward to it again today.
Yeah. So what, if you guys don't know this already, we are practice coaches. That's what we do. We coach practices all over the country that aren't necessarily broken. They're actually really good practices. And we help them get unstuck, improve their lives, and, you know, just create a better practice and a better life. And Robin is one of those amazing coaches. And today we're going to be talking about a problem that a lot of you might have. It's called the overdue account. Let's go there, Robin. Why would you have an overdue account? What happens when this happens?
Well, what happens is it causes stress for the doctors and amongst the team. It impacts profitability, impacts the ability to invest back in the practice. So making sure that you are collecting for what you produce is an important part of the day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Bottom line is people aren't paying. Now, I'm going to say this out loud before we get started. We're going to be talking about a solution or the solution to an overdue account. And I look at this as we're going to be treating a symptom of the disease, not really addressing the disease. You really should have no overdue accounts. But when you have an overdue account, there's a breakdown somewhere. We have to, ultimately, as a dental practice, you have to teach people how to behave. You got to teach them how to show up. You got to teach them how to pay. You got to teach them how to be a great patient. And when they aren't a great patient, you can dismiss them or ask them to go somewhere else. But let's go further into this. Like, what do we do? Or like, does this happen a lot, Robin, on a daily basis as you're talking to practices?
I think it happens more than most know that it does. And it's not, when I see practices, a lot of times I see 4 or 5% that is not collected. So it doesn't seem like a huge amount. And when you break it down, that really makes a huge difference from a practice perspective. And what it also does is that there's an element to that with patients too, of we're not having upfront conversations with them, which impacts the way that they behave. It impacts the trust in the practice and different things when you aren't having upfront financial conversations with patients about what their investment is.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, if you've been following along on the podcast, when we present some of this information or problem, we always have a system or a structure. So there's four things you can do. So I want you to think of, like, this is a diagnostic tool. When you and your team have overdue accounts, go through these four steps. So Robin, take us through them. What's the first step?
So the first one is having a strong financial policy. And there's an internal and an external facing policy. And so it is defining first your internal facing. What are our expectations for patients when they come in for the appointments? What are the options that we have in terms of making it affordable for them? And knowing what our processes and our protocols for that internal facing financial policy. And then there's the external, where it's for the patients. And yes, we have them written. Yes, we have patients sign all of these things when in their new patient paperwork. And I'm guessing that most patients don't actually read them. And so having a system to be able to verbally tell the patients what that policy is and what the expectations, and like you said, train our patients to know what they can expect when they come in terms of what their financial obligations are.
Yeah, absolutely love it. And we always say that a system's got to be written down. So, Robin, when you're talking about an internal system, which is it's a written system internally, and we're going to talk more about that. Like, this is how we do this here. And then you have a patient-facing policy, which is something in writing that you present to the patients that really lays everything out. It's super clear. And, ooh, here's the big one. It's signed by the patient, right?
Yes, it is signed by the patient, and preferably while they're scheduling their next appointment, so they actually know what they've agreed to when they leave, right? And before they're coming in. So I say this a lot. I don't believe that you have a overdue account issue or a collections issue. It starts with a financial policy issue. And so unless you have that really documented and the team is all on board with what that is, you're going to have the fallout of it in the form of overdue accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, if you don't have anything written, it doesn't exist. It was just a conversation we may or may not remember. Another thing is, I get this question a lot too. People are like, do you really have to have every financial arrangement? Like, shouldn't there be like a threshold of just like cases over $5,000? I'm a big fan. Everything's got to be in writing, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest factors is trust, right? And we know that that is what impacts many people for moving forward with treatment or accepting treatment is having trust in the practice. And when you money is can be very emotional. And so by having clear upfront know when the patient knows exactly what is expected of them, a trust is built and it is more likely to move forward with the treatment when they know exactly what their financial obligations are. It's far worse to send them a bill later on and have them not have expected it.
Yeah, totally agree. And then one other caveat I might just add in number one is the person that does this has to enjoy doing this. If they're doing this by default, they're afraid of money, they are terrified doing it. That is a natural like challenge you're going to have. It's just not going to work. Somebody's like, okay, I can do this. I have found that the people that are best at this love collecting money and they're totally cool with it. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And they take themselves out of whether they would, pay for it or the emotional piece that they bring into it. And they present it to the patient as here are your options. I'm happy to help you figure out how to make this affordable for you and really believe in the dentistry and that they really want to have the patients get it completed and find ways to help them to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. The second step to the solution with an overdue account is you gotta know your numbers. What does that mean, Robin?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, that's with everything, right? The more that you know, we can't fix what we don't measure. So if we don't know where we're starting, we don't know when we've had successes or wins, and we don't know what part to attack. So one of the biggest things, and we talk about this a lot, is the collections percentage. And so when you think about your net production or the production that is after any adjustments and is collectible, what percentage of that are we collecting every month? And I referenced earlier that 4 or 5%, I see practices at 95 or 96% collections. And while that is an A in many areas, that is leaving a lot on the table in terms of a collection percentage. So really 100 is what we're shooting for.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that creeps up on you. You know,
It does.
$1 million, that's a lot of dough every single month that could pay your supply bill. It could create more financial margin. And I always say this too. I love how you reference that. It's not an A in dental practice, you know, dental practice management, but it is one of those things where it's the tip of the iceberg. So if you're at 94% net collections, I can already tell you your fees are probably not in the right place. There's an inherent fear around money or you know, messiness around that. So, and then, you know, as far as collectible, we got to aim for 100%. And a lot of the practices that we coach, because they come to us and they're like, well, I'm at 90, we're at 97%. We spend a lot of time working with the team, developing team members, putting systems in place. They can often be at 102, 103, 104 for a while they're collecting on past debt. And it's not about the money. It's the confidence that they have when it comes to this. And then I love this topic so much. I think it's important to say this. This overdue thing is one problem, but also you will see the cleaner you are with money, with patients, it has this really good impact on the schedule. When people pay, they show up. It's really wild how that works. So it's not just about the money. It's really about creating healthy practices with the people you serve. Now, there's other components on this, like AR ratio. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so it's looking at a good rule of thumb is you want your AR ratio to be 1-to-1, which means if I collect $100,000 a month, I do not want my AR, my accounts receivable balance, to exceed that $100,000. So we do not want our AR to be more than what our average monthly production is. And so that's a good rule of thumb to keep that ratio in perspective. That means that we're collecting, you know, what we produce in that month, we're collecting.
Yeah. Now, this begs the question, is it gross production or net production? You remember the old days, it used to be 1.5. Now it's 1.0, like so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's keeping that in mind of that production piece and then making sure that that accounts receivable level doesn't rise.
Yeah. But it's still net production.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the reason that's so important too, and this may or may not be applicable to you if you're listening, but if you're writing off 33%, that ratio is going to be completely out of whack. And so write-offs do have some play in here when you're talking about AR ratio. What about AR intervals? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so we're reviewing balances as they go into different buckets. So a bucket would be 0 to 30 days, which is current. And then once it hits 31 days, it is now a past due amount. And so what amount of your AR falls into each bucket and how quickly do we get on that when it goes into the next bucket? So really looking at, you know, keeping an eye on those statistically as those buckets keep going down the line, by the time that you get to 90%, you have a 50% less, you are 50% less likely to be able to collect that amount once it gets to 90 days when it travels from the 30 days. So at 30 days, you have a 90% or 31, you have a 90% chance of collecting. After you get to 90 days, it's down to 50% of likely to collect that amount or that balance.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree. You know, the further it goes out, a lot of people say, well, you know, should I send out collect, like anything that goes out that far, the amount that you can recapture, it gradually declines. And we don't even need to talk about this, but sending out statements, I could probably show you what that costs you on a regular basis. So the general rule of thumb is the more you do up front, the less you have to do later. And again, it just starts with great clarity. So, and which leads us to, go ahead.
Okay. One more thing on that. So in the, for offices that do ortho or some different things like that, you may have more in those buckets. I think it's really important for who is ever managing that process to be able to say, okay, in this bucket, this percentage or this amount of money is tied back to some payment plans we have for ortho. So it's not this attitude of like, oh yeah, we do ortho, so anything overdue is fine. I want to know exactly what really is in each bucket that is pertaining to an ortho or a treatment plan, but you know, payment plan. So I know really what is not collected or what we have to work on in those buckets.
Yeah, 100%. So let's go to step number three. We got to have a system. You got to create a plan when this happens, right?
Absolutely. You referenced earlier that we talk about writing down systems and making sure that we have a system. So once you know that you have some accounts that are overdue, what is our plan to collect on it? And being able to define a system to know exactly what are we trying to accomplish here? And one of the big things too would be to show your team what impact AR has on them. What does that 3 or 4%, how does that impact us long term? And so to be able to show your team some of those things so they can get on board with it. And then I sign ownership. Who is going to do this? Who's going to be responsible for the result? And how do they get there? What is the step-by-step guide to when do we send statements? What do we say to people? When do we text? When do we email? All of those kinds of things to really lay out a plan for how we're going to get there.
Yeah. And if you need help with this, this is what we do. So we have an entire huge library in the BPA, Best Practices Association, of financial arrangement systems that are internal and external. So you don't have to recreate the wheel. So join us back there. And you're going to see there's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of clarity. Some of them are pretty intense. Some of them are a little bit more flexible. And you can customize it around your practice. And I think, Robin, what you're saying is so true. We just got to get everybody aligned on what this means. And while you might be a dental assistant and you're like, well, I don't do this, it's very important to support the system you've created as the practice, because you're going to get questions like this, like, how am I going to pay for this? And you could say confidently to a patient, Mrs. Jones, I know you're very concerned, but I'm going to take you up to the front and Robin's going to help you with this. When you've done the work of creating an internal system, and that assistant is very aware of how it all works, right?
Right. Absolutely. So yes.
It's good stuff. Yeah. So you got to have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, it's just whack-a-mole. You're just like, chase that one, chase this one.
And right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as it gets out of, you know, it feels like it can get out of control. And so it's like this, where do you even start? So really being able to define what our steps are and gradually work away, you know, chip away at things helps it to be more consistent when we know what we're doing and have a plan to how to get there.
Yeah. And you might be thinking, well, I don't want to sit down and write a plan with my team and do this. Like, they'll just figure it out. You have to. You've got to do this, because people that owe you money, they don't like you. You think they do, but they don't. They see you at the grocery store and they go, oh my gosh, that's Dr. Smith. I got to avoid it. Don't get into a situation where people are routinely owing you money. Something is going to break, you know? So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. So once we create the plan, which is step number three, we got to work the plan, which is number four. Walk us through that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if we have systems and they're not implemented, they're true to fail. So we have to really be consistent in how we are tackling these overdue accounts. So we don't need to wait for balances to age. Schedule a meeting every week with whoever's managing your AR. Chip away at these. Be consistent with it and really, like, what did we do this week? How much did we accomplish? Let's celebrate those wins. And okay, what does next week look like? And let's keep tracking the progress so that you can make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. So having those weekly meetings would be a great place to start and really understanding it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Along with that, those weekly meetings, I think one of the big things that teams can do is make sure that you're sending statements weekly, because when we wait to, you know, most practices are sending them monthly, or a lot of practices are sending statements monthly. And by the time that a patient has received that, it is artificially aged to potentially 45 or 60 days. And if we send them weekly, you're getting patients right as insurance checks have come in, or they've made a payment and now we're moving on to it, so that those balances don't increase and artificially age over time.
Yeah. So, and you know where those statements go, they often go to the bottom of the bills. And a lot of people have told me this, my dentist is so nice, I don't need to pay that. And what's really cool is this, is once you start to put the system in place that Robin's talked about, you can add certain little countermeasures to that. I love using the morning huddle as a great thing. I think whoever is in your morning huddle that handles the administrative area should routinely point out people that are overdue and they're in the practice, because the best way to fix anything is while they're in the practice. They can say during the morning huddle, we have two patients that owe us money, Mrs. Finelli at 10 o'clock and Mr. Jones at 2. They see me first before they go back, because we're going to put a stop to this. And it doesn't have to be mean. It's so cool when you can address the whole situation up front. Here's another one that I really like. And actually, my dentist did this to me, is my family has become accustomed or routine to not pay any bills. And they just go, dad's going to take care of it, which is totally okay if you're going to go to the dentist. And then he'll just text me once in a while and go, listen, can you pay your family's bill? And like, and I do get the, I don't know. I don't think they send out statements as much as weekly, but like that works. I'll just tell you that works. Getting a text from a dentist saying, hey, would you mind just getting your family bill caught up? And I was horrified, actually, when he texted me. I called right away, and I'm like, I am so sorry. And so make sure you do that. Any other things that you would add when you think about overdue?
Yeah, back to the morning meeting. So you talk about, you're talking, we have two patients today that owe money. Here's what the amounts are. I love to then the next day have that same person report on whether it was collected. And so there's that accountability piece and checking back of, let's thank you so much for helping me out. We were able to collect those today, or it didn't get collected. And then what's the breakdown in that system for how we make sure that those things happen? Because you're right, when they're in the office, it's the best time to do that.
Yeah.
So being able to follow up on that the next day.
Yeah. And you might be wondering, like, how do I say that to a patient in the morning? Here's one of my favorite. I learned this from a practice in North Carolina. They say this: let's get you caught up. See how neat that sounds? Let's get y'all caught up. First time I heard that, I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Let's get y'all caught up. Now think about that phrase. Let's get you all caught up. It implies I'm behind, you know, and it also implies we're not going anywhere unless we get all caught up, you know, because when you put somebody in the schedule that owes you money, you can pretty much take it to the bank that you won't be taking to the bank. And ultimately, two other things are going to happen. The balance is going to grow, and then they're going to cancel their appointment because they feel guilty or bad, or they don't have the money. You know, remember, you train people how to behave in a dental practice. And when you do that really well, they train other patients that they refer how to behave. They come in and go, you know what? My sister goes here. I hear you're really expensive. I hear I have to pay up front. And you go, yeah, thank you. Come on in. So nice to meet you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but then we got to work the plan. And, you know, shifting, like you said, the mindset is like collecting money is uncomfortable. You got to change that. That is a limiting belief. Every dollar collected supports the salaries, you know, improving things and continued patient care. We often do this internally. This is a fun exercise. Count the dependents from your team in the practice, meaning, like, let's say you have six team members or 10 team members. How many people in each household count on the well-being of the dental practice? It'll blow your mind. Like, we have some practices that come here and sit in the room. They're like, there's 129 people that depend on the financial well-being of the practice, which takes your mindset to a different place. And it would lead me to believe, like, we got to do a good job of collecting money here because we got to be able to support these people, maintain a profitable practice, pay salaries, right?
Yeah. Yes. And if we go back to the beginning too, of the more upfront we are with patients and the more transparent we are, the more trust they have in us and the better relationship that we have with them overall. So it is clear as kind, and it's kind to tell people exactly what the investment is before they get into a place that they're uncomfortable and then they don't come back. So it really is a kind thing to do, to let patients know upfront exactly what they can expect from the investment.
100%. So Robin, give us some final takeaways on this when we have overdue accounts.
Yeah, I mean, once the balance hits 31 days, it's overdue. So what's our plan to address those immediately? And then what's the plan on the front end to not let it get there? So we've got to attack it from both sides when you have some overdue accounts. And so, you know, the older the balance it is, the harder it is to collect. So being proactive on that and making sure that we don't let it go there is a big part of that. And the third thing I would say is those weekly meetings. Print out your A or R report. What accounts are over 31 days? What's our plan for that? And then next week, how did we do with that? And what's our plan for the following week? And really tackle it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you're a dentist, you have a hard time talking to your team members, you're afraid talking to them, or you just don't know how to, I'm going to give you a little tip. Share this podcast with them and say, hey, why don't we listen to a podcast independently and then sit down and have a conversation. Our job is to help you. We love being helpful. And so maybe this podcast will help you guys get aligned on how to do it. If you need more tools, again, like I shared earlier, back in the Best Practices Association, which is the ecosystem, the entire community we have back there of all these tools and resources. We are geeks about this stuff. We love this stuff. You're going to see a couple tools back there. We have an entire tool called Managing an Accounts Receivable and Collections mm-hmm. System. Wow, that's a mouthful. But it's an entire guide on how to do it from front to back. It is so cool. We also have many sample financial arrangement forms that you don't have to recreate the wheel. We actually have other people created the wheel, and there's lots of wheels back there. You could choose a wheel that best fits your practice. And then you can also check out our podcast episode that's called Cashflow Kings and Queens, A Dentist's Guide to Mastering Accounts Receivable, where we take a deep dive in all of this and the ins and outs, and it is fantastic. And if you've tried everything and you're like, I don't want to do any of this, can you guys just help me? We have expert pro coaches like Robin, who will just make you do it. And instead of listening to you talk all the time, like, hey, and now I say that to you kindly, if you're listening, because I'm a wuss. I need the help of great coaches and people like Robin around me, because they make you get things done for the benefit of everyone. You can contact Courtney on our team and learn more about ACT. So make sure you check that out. Robin, you're the best. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Stick around. We say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you did, do me a favor. Just hit the share button. Share that with your friends. Because when you share that with your friends, it helps us to help other people just like you. We love this stuff so much. We're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.